Nerdish,
nerdy,
nerd news.
Hi, and welcome to Nerdish, Nerdy, Nerd News. Come along and ride with us as we explore, discuss, and nerd-splain some of the most interesting topics of today.
Hey, I'm Tim. Hung around with nerds a lot growing up, hoping that it would rub off. I think it kind of did, because I'm kind of nerdish. As always, my co-hosts.
Hey, thanks, Tim. I'm Christian. I've been playing and writing, creating games and Dungeons & Dragons since high school. My idea of a relaxing weekend is playing vids with my buds online. I also used to do complex math troubles with my dad for fun. I am very nerdy. And with us to help us understand the world a little better.
Hi, I'm Jess. I've been programming and using computers since the early 80s. I'm a voracious reader, consistently going through about 500,000 or more words a month. I've got some biochemistry in my background, and I've been using technology for as long as I can remember. I am the nerd.
Hey, Tim, how was your photo shoot last night there?
What photo shoot?
I thought you were doing one for that crazy band that you're in, the Bromantic Sisters
the
or something?
The Bromantics photo shoot.
Yeah,
it went really good.
What?
Didn't do anything over the top, but...
No, you weren't in your Borat man thong this time?
No.
No?
I'm saving that for another photo shoot.
Oh, okay.
Later on.
What kind of...
That's the other band, the Borats.
What kind of costumes were you wearing?
Just the jerseys.
Yeah. Not your fancy jackets?
No. That's as creative as we got.
Yeah. Well, that's still pretty creative, though. Like, you think a lot of bands don't have any kind of costume or outfit that they wear that's all matching. Like, and, you know, there's lots of times, like my kid, he wears costumes all the time, and he's dressed up as, you know, Doctor Strange running around casting magic spells on us, and we have to fall down.
We're pretty lazy. I mean, what we can get, it's not like we put a ton of work into it. What we can buy, we do. We've had one jacket made.
You look good.
There are some people, however, that do a lot more than that. And we have a couple of guests in our studio today.
Mm.
So let's introduce them. We have Ulfer Fenrir.
From Fenrir's Phantasmal Findings.
And Katie Cosplay.
Hello.
Hi.
I feel we should have a round of applause.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So we've got them in here today to talk about costumes. Maybe they can commission some costumes for you guys.
It's needed.
I can do that.
Okay, well, we'll talk later for sure.
So these guys actually do professional cosplay around all of Western Canada, really. And they go to all kinds of conventions, and they put on their wares and try to see who's the best.
So I guess one of the first questions that everyone, I'm sure, always asks you is, what is cosplay?
I was just about to ask it. Thanks for stealing my fire.
Yeah, Tim, I know.
Cosplay is the art of dressing up as something that you're like a fan of. So like whether it's Marvel or Disney or Star Wars, and then you dress up as the characters from those things, or like fan-made costumes of just something you came up with yourself.
No holds barred.
No holds.
Really?
As far as your imagination can go.
That's really, really far.
Yeah.
Tim's got a very vivid imagination.
Sometimes.
Not vivid enough to actually go and try and make a costume, though, so.
But I could make that costume.
Yes.
Yes.
How much work goes into this? Like, I have seen some of these costumes. I've seen, maybe it was even you guys walking around, even Moose Jaw here during like sidewalk days.
Yeah.
And
there
are some pretty elaborate costumes, I must say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywhere from what, a day to 300 hours plus of costume making?
Yeah, for just like a singular costume. Like, my longest one's probably taken me like 300 hours to complete.
Wow. That is a lot of time.
Yeah.
I have a hard time committing to things for a half hour.
Yeah.
Well,
300
I do too.
Hours. And that, so that's right from scratch.
Yeah, everything from scratch. So I make everything myself except for my shoes. I did that once. I'll never do it again.
So you're even a cobbler?
Cobbler.
Yeah.
So how do you get, like, that's got to be a lot of outsourcing for materials and...
It's a lot of trying to figure out what would actually work for said materials, because we sometimes we can't get leather other times we can't get metal, so we make foam look like both at times. So
that's pretty cool. How do you come up with your ideas for this? Like what and is it, yeah. How do you come up with your ideas?
Like what are some examples of your costumes?
Oh, I've done Reaper from Overwatch and Reinhardt from Overwatch. I do a lot of Blizzard. Nathanos from World of Warcraft. That was quite a lot of sewing to do and makeup. How about...
You look confused, so maybe
No. I'm just like, thinking of some of the characters.
That's Tim's resting face.
Is that his resting face?
you have to
I'm
understand.
Like, does he know
this
any of these?
This is nerdish, nerdy, like, nerd news, so most of the time I'm lost. Just trying to find my way.
I was getting kind of nervous the way you were looking at over here.
I was just actually wondering, if I said Thor, you could make me look like exactly like Thor.
Best of my abilities. Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Well, without the ripped abs.
Yeah, without the.
Well, that's what I was talking about. That's
actually there are tutorials on how to make the foam padding.
We could fake it.
So we can
really
fake it till you make it, baby.
But you know, there was a fat Thor in Avengers 2.
There was.
It could just
Lots
be that
of
Thor.
Dress up as that Thor.
Yeah, he's a fun Thor. Yeah,
easy one. But anyways, costumes for me, I have everything like Officer Jenny from Pokemon, that's one of my simpler ones. And then my more elaborate ones, I have like Fire Lord Azula from Avatar. And then like Nightcrawler from X-Men, he's the blue guy.
Yeah.
Did it a female in his like classic super suit.
Well, the fellas were telling me you did a female Loki.
I do female Loki. Yeah, I just finished a new one. So.
Oh, you got another. Right on.
Yeah, one that you guys haven't seen yet. I wore it in Calgary. I competed with it in Calgary.
The last one we saw was 2019, I think.
Yeah, so the 2022 edition is super fancy now.
Oh, well, you'll have to send us pictures and we'll put those online and everything. Yeah. So.
These competitions must be crazy then.
Yes, yeah. So there's the one in Calgary. It's the Western Canada qualifier. So for all of North America, has qualifiers all over. And then the people who win there get to go to Toronto to compete for North America. So there's three categories in the Western Canada qualifier in Calgary. There's Masters, Journeyman, and Beginner. So they kind of separate you out on your skill level. And then only 15 people in each category get through. So they
how many people?
However many people apply.
Is there usually like... hundreds? Is there like...
I think hundreds. The master's core category, it's a lot less because a lot less of us actually can get into that category because you have to win in Journeyman three times. So you kind of get stuck in no man's land in Journeyman and for a really long time before you can.
And I think we'll try and get into those details a little bit more
later.
The
little
like the breakdowns of there's different categories.
This is a big deal.
It's not just dress up in your best Halloween costume of cardboard and show up.
Well, that's the beginner levels.
That's the beginner.
Yeah.
That's Tim.
That's Tim.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm a robot. I am a box.
I used crayons.
But what drives you guys? Why do you do cosplay? I guess is.
I was going to say, like, what got you guys into this?
Yeah.
I'm a very creative person. I like a lot of different crafting, and cosplay was really good outlet for it. There's not an evening where I'm not actually putting together something for someone or just myself. So.
And then I just always really liked Halloween. And it gave Halloween. me excuse to do Halloween all the time, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it was just an easy switch to move into the cosplay. And so even if I'm not at a con, I do Elsa for charity events or like for Sidewalk Days this year. I'm performing in the children's area as a mermaid. Oh, nice. So.
Well, I was going to say, like, I've seen the people that dress up for stuff like Sidewalk. And the kids they love that them. Stuff.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the charity events you've done?
I've done so many. A couple different princess balls. Waskimo in Regina when that was a thing. Sidewalk Days for many years. I've done some stuff for GAX. Mm-hmm. I've gone to the children's hospitals before and seen sick kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I do a lot of that. And then I do like birthday
parties.
Do you
rappel off the windows as Spider-Man?
I wish. No, I am an Elsa performer when I go see kids. So I have to talk my way out of why I can't use magic right now.
That's a huge performance aspect of this too.
Yeah. Super. A lot of acting.
So next step, Hollywood.
I have to work on that part. Usually I'm in a face mask or a giant helmet and I don't speak. So, yeah, I have to work on my performance a bit.
We have that picture from, that was quite a while ago, your...
Reinhardt.
Yes.
And you have the face.
That was the final stage of Reinhardt. For that, I started off with just the shoulders and the helmet and leather pants and a dress shirt, and that was it. And that was my first competition piece. So I thought I did pretty good.
It was amazing.
Just the glare you had on your face when we got that picture was fantastic.
You should have seen the glare I had on my face in the photos last night. There's a ping pong table up above where we were doing photos, and I made the mistake of playing
ping pong. So you were all
so
nice.
So it was a bit shiny for the spotlight.
You were a little moist where you did.
And that was no makeup or nothing.
No powder to get rid of the glisten.
Anyway. That's a whole another path.
Fat man playing ping pong.
fat guy playing pong.
Did you win at least?
Oh, I did, actually.
Oh, nicely done.
Yeah, so
this is
how do you get those spots if there's only 15 for each category?
Yeah.
Usually they put a call out and then you reply as fast as you can with whatever progress pictures you have. And so then they take a look at it and they make the final decision of, is this far enough along that you'll be ready for our competition, or will this be good enough for our competition? And then they usually respond back if you get the spot or not.
Okay. So, like, for Tim and I and Jess, like, if we wanted to get started, we'd be coming into the beginner category.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes. Now, are there restrictions on, like, that type of stuff? Like,
wait a minute. Speak for yourself. Have you seen my cardboard costume?
Yes, but it'll be the three of us competing as giant.
One giant cardboard box.
Yeah.
So most of them have restrictions that you have to have 80% or more of your costume made on your own. Because most people can't make shoes or wigs.
Yeah.
So they give you that little bit of a buffer zone to buy those kind of things.
Okay.
But everything else you got to make yourself.
Okay.
And of course, keeping it family friendly.
And so there's various levels then. Like, I'm not going to be showing up with Tim in our cardboard boxes competing against you guys.
No, I run in the Masters category, so no one, unless they've been in the game for a real long time, is going to be against me.
Okay.
I've competed against you.
You have.
Oh, here we go. Here it is. This is it.
Throwdown.
Yeah. Point!
And I won!
She did beat me.
And justifiably so.
I was in my Natsu costume. It was a two-day build. That was it.
You did your best.
Well, you guys... They were looking for, there was only like three people competing, and they wanted somebody else to join in, and so I felt sorry for them. And so I was like, okay, well, look at all these people in Journeyman. I'm just going to hop up because...
There's no one in.
Why not?
And does
it was fun. It was good experience.
Yeah.
And now I'm stuck.
So there's
in Masters. Okay.
But you need to be. You need to push yourself, Ulfer.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So... There's, what, three categories at most competitions then?
At most, yeah. A beginner, a journeyman, a master's. And then the odd ones do, like, a little children's tier if they want to get up on stage and do whatever.
Just get started.
But they're not usually part of the, like, main competition.
Okay. They're just there because they're so darn cute.
Exactly. They're cute and everyone wants to see them in their cute little costumes.
Yeah.
It was so funny. We went to the, it was in Regina one year. It was not the Comic-Con, but what's the other one? Fan Expo.
Mm-hmm.
So my little guy dressed, like, we were really into the Star Wars, and he dressed as Darth Maul.
I love that.
Oh, that'd be
and
so
he had
cute.
The, oh, it was. And he had the sword and everything, right? And we walked past the Star Wars area.
The 501st, yeah.
And there was another kid about the same age. He was dressed in a Darth Maul costume. And as they walked by each other, you could just see they locked eyes for a minute.
The tension.
And then we kept walking. And then when we came back... He was there again, and without a word, the swords came out. They both had the double swords. And then everybody from the Star Wars booth came out. And they actually had a fight.
Cute.
It was so great.
That's awesome.
It was one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen, even more so than Star Wars.
That's really what it's about.
It is, yeah.
And that was Keaton when we were at Disneyland a few years ago. Like, he was, I think, 5 at the time or 4. And he just picked up his Kylo Ren lightsaber from, like, the builds place. This was before the Star Wars was there, but they still had little Star Wars areas. And we're walking around, and a bunch of stormtroopers, like, walked by. And they're like, "Hey, sir, like, how are you?" And he's like, does some, like, force thing at them. And, yeah, he yells at them at, like, a little 5-year-old voice, but full Kylo Ren makeup, because we'd found someone to do makeup at the time. So, oh, my God, it was so cute. That's, and they're so, like, cute. "Yes, sir, we will do that right away." And they walked off. But, yeah, like, it was awesome.
There's, adorable.
There's groups that do cosplay. You mentioned 501st.
Yeah, there's, like, so they're usually charity groups. So there's the 501st.
And then there's the Resident Evil group.
Umbrella Corp.
Umbrella Corp.
Yes. And they do different charities. They just go out and take pictures sometimes, and they help out at, like, events. Like, there was a zombie run, and they would dress up in their full kit and go as, like, the military people to try and control the zombies and volunteer help with that. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, should we take a little break? And then we'll be right back, because there's a ton of questions I want to know why you two aren't doing costume design for Hollywood.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Nerdish,
nerdy,
nerd news.
So we're back here from our break with Ulfer Fenerer and Katie Cosplay doing some more. Talking about cosplay, and it's not just for Halloween, Tim.
Well, it's going to take my Halloween to the next level, that's for sure.
Or
I feel I just got to be better now.
You do. And
thanks. You know. Thanks for pointing that out, Christian.
You know, your wife will appreciate it in the boudoir as well.
Yeah. Well, if you need any help, I'm sure that Katie and Ulfer are more than happy to help you out with certain
absolutely
yeah
aspects of the costume, not the boudoir.
Yeah, costume,
nobody wants to see that. Nobody.
Even your wife.
Even, yeah.
I'm guessing that there's a lot of helping each other and how to do things. And
oh yeah, we chat all the time. Like, even when we're about to go on stage, we're like, "Oh, we like that aspect of your costume.
Tell me how you did it."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll sit there and talk for hours if we have the time.
And so, like, what's that atmosphere like? Because I mean, I'm thinking of, like, competitions, like a singing competition or something that I've been in, or things like that.
Were you in a singing competition?
I used to.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to have to do a whole episode on that.
Well, there is one. It wasn't as friendly when you're at a higher levels where, for me, in that type of stuff, or sport, like, there's trash talking and all that kind of stuff. Like, is that same sort of environment when you get to the higher levels, or is it...
It's completely opposite.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah,
it's so friendly. Even at the master's level, everyone is so nice with each other, and we talk shop. And if, like, something always has to break on everyone's costume right before you go on stage, it never fails. And everyone will, like, come up with ways to help you quickly fix it and run to go to the repair booth. And
okay, so I'm not sitting there going, "Yes, I can beat Katie now this time because she blew out her, you know, belt."
Yeah.
No. Everyone's trying to help. Okay,
everyone's,
that's really nice,
super
actually.
Super helpful. Yeah. Everyone's lovely.
Tim and I
I'm
are
still
just
thinking now, I want to get Christian in competition. I'm thinking all the ways I can sabotage his water.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how Tim and I think.
As he walks by, I'm going to turn this microwave on and the tinfoil will spark.
Maybe we're the wrong personality type for cosplay.
Quite possibly. We are too competitive. And we grew up in the sports industry too, Tim.
Yeah,
right?
Like, we sure did.
Yeah. But so you guys are, like, that's kind of a nice environment to be a part of, hey?
With it is, yeah.
with the basically a family that you have outside of your family.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, we generally help each other out and try to look out for each other the best we can.
What type of stuff have you learned from, like, people that you never would have thought of yourself? Like, what's some of the coolest things you've seen people do and then adopted it yourself? Can you think of anyone?
Oh, you put them on the spot.
I know.
Yeah,
I think probably trying to be a better person, because you see all these other people being so nice and you're like, why are you being nice when we're competing against each other?
I
kind of sort of learned how to try to help other people
mm-hmm.
in their costumes the way that other people have helped me.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I say, making yourselves a better person while making a better costume.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
very cool.
I think it's awesome, too, though. Like we kind of touched on it, too, before, though, too, is, like I said, the going to children's hospitals and whatnot. Like, this branches off into so many other areas, and it really comes from a place of passion and creativity and artistry, really,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I'm still thinking of how to spike Christian's water, but see, these things are really nice to think about.
So back to the competition of things, we've got the three levels.
Yeah.
So how do you get from level to level, and what are things, like, how are they judged, I guess, is really how...
So to get from level to level, usually most competitions are a best in category and then a best in show. So to bump up in levels, to get out of beginner, you have to just win something once, and then you'll get to journeyman. You have to win something three times, and then you get stuck in masters forever. And then it just gets more difficult as people hang out in the masters division.
Because, yeah, there's more and more of you.
Yeah. And although there's not that many of us to start with.
And the other way of getting just bumped right up to masters is if you make it an actual hobby and you sell than $4,000 worth of commissions a year.
So is that something you guys do regularly, is make costumes for other people?
I do not.
I do.
I was actually going to say, how is this branched off into things like that? Yeah.
I have my shop, which is Fenrir's Phantasmal Findings on Facebook, and I do everything from dice, leatherworking, foam smithing, and just dabble into a lot of things.
You've done chainmail too, haven't you?
A lot of chainmail.
Yeah.
I have 10 years of experience with chainmail.
And that's a very specific skill set that not many people have, handmade chainmail.
And so, one day a guy's like, hey, I want to do a full Halo costume. And I was like, okay, cool. And he's like, I want it 3D printed. I was like, fun. And so I had to learn how to take something from Pepicura, which is a paper folding program that we use for armor smithing,
mm-hmm.
and transfer it over to an STL, which is the program file that a 3D printer can read.
Mm.
And you're dealing with, like, micros of layer that you have to expand out into
a full image, a full structure,
a full thing,
yeah,
and
wow,
figure that all out. And so, yeah, that kind of bumped me up to masters.
And just remember our 3D printing, that's what we were talking about. We had an episode that just fell here last week that was all about 3D printing and all the things that you can make. And like you say, one of those things is a full costume that, you know.
Have you ever thought about branching off in the entertainment industry? Well, you're kind of in the entertainment industry, but like, what about like film and television and things like that?
I did get offered once for Wolf Cop. I did get offered
Hugh Patterson,
what is it, number two? They were looking for extras, and I was like, I can't get off work, sorry.
I've done some special effects stuff for small films and stuff, and like I've done the commercials for In Moose Jaw, for like Tourism Moose Jaw and stuff. Their 20 stuff. I did stuff for them in like Little Chicago, but nothing ever, any big stuff. I've never thought of
these amazing Moose Javians, hey?
Yeah, well, yourself too, Tim. Yeah, I've seen you on Corner Gas a few times.
Well, you know, my goals, Christian, it's all about getting people to realize who I think I am, right?
when you're in the judging, like when you actually get to the competition, what is that day like?
So usually at a con, it would be on their Saturdays. That's their crazy big day. You usually wake up in the morning and then put all of your makeup on and then get dressed. That can take hours depending on what you're doing. Like when I did Nightcrawler, I had to be blue. that took 2 hours to make me blue. And then you would go to the convention, and then you have your pre-judging, and that's where usually three guest judges really high up in the industry are in a booth, and they like tear your costume apart. So they'll flip your seams, and they get really close, and they check for any damages or little flaws, and then that's what they use to like figure out who's going to win first place. And then there's like a small amount of points that they give you for actually going on stage and doing something, but usually it's all on the content of your costume itself.
And so like with that, with the judging and stuff, like how long do you, like, is that something you spend a lot of time with those judges? Is it
about 3 minutes?
Really? So like 200 hours of work
for 3 minutes,
and they fall upon you like locusts.
And they do, and it's so stressful.
Wow.
Unless the con decides, oh, we got to crunch down the time and give you a minute. Only.
Yeah. Wow.
And then you only got 5 seconds on stage, and that's it.
You rattle it off as fast as possible.
So it makes it very hard.
So 200 plus hours of work compressed down into 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And then they must have a criteria in which they base it on that you never see, or you do get to see. Or?
So I judged in Regina before. So usually it's about like the different number of media that you use. So like someone who only sews doesn't get as many points as someone who's like sews and does foam work and leather work and chainmail and all of the things.
So you and get electronics points. And
lights and, which are my nightmare. I hate
and makeup
lights.
And wigs.
So the more skills that you use, the more points you get. And then like if you actually finished your seams on the inside of your costume with like a serger or French seams or something, if you leave it unfinished, you lose points.
Wow.
Stuff like that.
That's an amazing skill set.
It is. It's a...
do they offer you though this feedback then? Then you can take that back then and improve your craft?
Only if you ask for it.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of the time after the competition, the next day or immediately after, people will go ask their judges like, hey, I was so-and-so because you look nothing like you did the day before. And then they'll explain to you like what they really liked and what they didn't like and what you should work on and stuff like that.
And then what kind of prizing are we looking at here? Like what out of all these hours and all this short judging, after all these hours, what are we looking at? What do we get out of this?
Mostly certificates of saying what we've won.
Bragging rights.
Sometimes
there is an intrinsic value to that, though. Yeah. Absolutely,
it's
for
nice.
Sure.
Tim's all about the brag.
depending on the competition, like a local one here in Regina or Saskatoon, it's maybe a little bit of prize money along with a certificate saying congratulations, whereas you competed in Calgary for...
Yeah, I've competed in Calgary the last couple years. Like this year, for example, each category had like a small cash prize, but if you won the best in show, you got $1,500, and then you got an all-expenses-paid trip to Toronto to go compete at that con. And then if you win in that con, I think you get like $5,000 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And then I think they send you to Worlds in like Norway or something.
But, sure.
But typically on a lot of your costumes, like a lot of the costumes that you're getting in competitions, how much are a lot of those, like the ones that you know are winners or the ones that you have done really well with, like how much are you spending on those costumes? Typically,
too
ish.
Much.
too much, yes.
It's a hot button, Christian. Come on.
I think the most expensive one of mine, I spent about $3,000.
I'm a $1,000 tops kind of person.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Too much money.
Even the prize money is not... You're not doing it for the prize money.
Money and you go and drink after because you're happy because you won.
You have to, I think. Yeah, you definitely have to.
Yeah. But it was a stressful day.
But there's definitely a status involved with this too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like and the thing is too, I think of like all the cons that I can think of is, you know, you look at Big Bang Theory when they went to San Diego Comic-Con and, you know, there's tens of thousands of people there, and like, do we have a lot of cons around? I know there's some in Regina and Saskatoon, but like, what's the con? How many cons are there in Western Canada that you guys go to? and how often are they?
Four.
I'm just going to say four for Alberta and Saskatchewan. There's Saskatoon's, Regina, Calgary, Edmonton.
Winnipeg has a couple.
Okay. And do they do that? Like, does Calgary and Edmonton, are they once a year? Are they a couple times?
Everyone's once a year.
Oh, okay. Year. So they're not doing multiple. No.
Then you have smaller ones.
Like Humboldt, I think, just had one.
Oh, okay.
Just a little baby one.
So. But that's still fun.
Yeah, it's still good.
Who are some really interesting people you've gotten to meet during your journeys?
My favorite. This past year, I met Brendan Fraser. It was the most exciting moment of my life. I was so excited.
And what were you dressed as?
A Nooks and a Nun from the original Mummy movie. So I met Brendan Fraser
in
my mummy costume.
Oh, wow.
It
was
the best.
And was he pretty impressed?
Yeah, he was super impressed. Yeah. And then we had a talk after because I went around, got my picture with him, and then I went and had an autograph from him after.
Oh,
we chatted.
That's awesome.
Yes. And Stan Lee. That's my other
one. You met Stan Lee.
And I met Stan Lee. I have a picture with Stan Lee as well.
Wow.
Yeah. You got to sit and talk with him? And
yeah.
Can't do that.
And what were you dressed as with Stan Lee?
I was just in like a Mario dress. Like,
oh, that's still.
I didn't plan something for that one. Definitely planned for Brendan Fraser, though.
Right.
Holfer, what about you?
I got to meet the the actor who plays Hodor from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Christian Nairn.
Yeah.
Oh, he is such a big guy.
Like, yeah, I heard he's like 6'9" or something like that.
We were standing like maybe 6 feet apart, and he had his arms around both of us.
Wow.
For me and my partner. And yeah, so he was a really big guy. And then got to meet quite a few of the doctors from Doctor Who.
So I guess that's a lot of the cons too, right? Is all these famous people being there? And
yeah,
absolutely. That's a huge draw for them, is bringing in big celebrities.
Cool.
I got to meet four of the voice actors from Overwatch.
Oh, nice.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we've got a couple episodes coming up about voices, and we'll be doing some future episodes about voice acting. And we actually talked about...
we have Peter Cullen coming. Let's roll.
Yeah. how many costumes have you guys made over the years? Like,
a lot.
I got about six.
You have six?
I have six.
20 or 30 or something like that.
Wow.
I've sold a bunch too.
Like, only two of them are wearable right now. Yeah.
So if someone wanted to see all, like, there's got to be a place where we can see your costumes.
Yeah, all of my stuff is posted on my Instagram or my Facebook. It's Katie Cosplay, and cosplay is spelled with a K because I had to be different.
Makes sense.
And mine's on Fenrir's Phantasmal Findings. It's my Facebook page, and it's sort of a mix of everything from board games to creating different costumes and trying to be variety.
Everything in between, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that we have those on our episode description so everyone can go and see.
But yeah.
So what's coming up?
What's the costumes for this year?
Or are they top secret?
No, they're not top secret. I haven't fully decided. I think I'm going to do Mad Moxie from Borderlands as my competition piece. I really want to have that stupid megaphone that she has and yell at people through it.
And the riding crop.
Yeah. And some pistols and yeah, all of the things.
Are you going to be doing that for your Maxim photo shoot too if you win?
No, my Maxim photo shoot has to be something that they pick out in Paris.
Oh.
So I know I applied somehow with cosplay photos and made it in. Don't know how that happened, but it would have to be a normal person photo shoot, which I don't have any of.
And so what are your ideas for this year, Ulfer?
Well, I'm planning for next year, not so much this year, because I have a booth in Regina Expo this year that I'm trying to get ready. So I've got a dwarf, a custom character dwarf on the go. I also have Simon from Castlevania that I'm in the midst of planning for. And I have a leather dragon suit that I'm currently building right now.
Wow. Only three costumes, Tim.
Yeah,
Tim can barely put his pants on in the morning.
I'm still trying to color my cardboard box.
I caught something there, and you said Maxim photo shoot.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I am currently in the running to get the cover of Maxim magazine. I applied on a whim a couple months ago, and it's actually running this summer. So If you win, you get $15,000, and then they fly you to Paris to do the cover shoot. It would be for January of this upcoming year. So I'm currently in fourth place.
So how do you get out of fourth place?
Is there I need people to vote for me.
Oh.
Did you hear that, folks? We need votes.
We can help a local Moose Jaw girl here make it on the cover of Maxim.
That would be amazing.
So what do you do? What do you got to do to vote? Where do you got to go?
I'll give you guys the link to it, and then you would just have to follow the link, and then there's a little vote button, and I believe you have to vote, you have to have a Facebook account, so they can verify that you're only voting once every 24 hours.
Or you can use a credit card.
Or you can vote for me using a credit card if you want to be the best.
Nice.
Like they don't, they don't charge for that one, but it gives you two votes rather than just one.
Mm-hmm.
Or there are tiers where you can pay for it as well.
Someone wants to spend $250 on me and buy me 250 votes, I'd be super happy.
So the what does this cover involve? I'm sorry if I missed that, but what is it? So when you win.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? When she wins.
When I win.
What are we going to see?
I know that they're bringing the winner to, I think, like six different really fancy locations throughout Paris. And then I can't even remember the name of the photographer. He's some big name. And then they'll dress you up in whatever, do your hair, makeup, like a normal high model photography shoot. And then they'll just pick their best one to go on the cover. And I think they do a spread inside as well.
Wow.
Wow.
That sounds exciting.
Mm-hmm,
just super. Think of the costumes you could buy with $15,000.
I know.
Well,
I would still be lost on what to do with $15,000 myself. I'm still trying to get over my cardboard box, but
yeah.
That's amazing. What an amazing opportunity.
Yeah,
Ulfer's going to help you with that. He's going to get you dressed up. Lots. Next Halloween, we're going to have you all dressed up fancy.
As long as you're competent with tools. Cosplay is hands-on.
Right on. Well, that's amazing. Best of luck. And we need to make sure we can do our part to maybe...
Yeah, we will definitely help them out there. On all their socials. But yeah, that's... I think we've definitely dived deep into cosplay here. And it's not, like I said, it's not just Halloween anymore. And these people are making a family of their own outside of regular family. And it sounds like a really encouraging thing that we can all get into, Tim.
And I think you said it best at the beginning, the art of cosplay.
Yeah.
It is definitely an art form.
It is an art form for sure.
Well, thanks for joining us today, you two. It was a pleasure being here.
Yeah, it was a pleasure being here.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Thanks again for letting us into your ear holes with this nerdish, nerdy nerd news podcast. Check out our website at wildshot.ca.
You can find us on all the socials under Nerdish Nerdy Nerd News. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe and support us at patreon.com/nerdish to get more bonus content, show notes, and merch.
If you'd like to send us topics for future episodes or comment about our existing ones, please email us info@wildshot.ca. And remember, stay nerdy.
Nerdish, nerdy, nerd news.